John Boehner's journey from mopping floors in his father's bar to becoming Speaker of the House offers a rare glimpse into the machinery of American politics. Unlike most political memoirs that carefully sidestep controversy, Boehner's account pulls no punches, naming names and confronting his own party's descent into extremism. Growing up as one of 12 children in a cramped Ohio home taught him to value what little he had, explaining his later intolerance for wrinkled suits or scuffed shoes. This chaotic childhood prepared him remarkably well for managing congressional mayhem with unflappable calm. After dealing with 11 siblings, he reflects, handling a bunch of congressmen isn't that big a challenge. His father's bar, Andy's Cafe, became his first classroom in human relations, teaching him to treat everyone with equal respect regardless of their status, a principle that would guide his political career even when it put him at odds with his party's evolving extremism. After dealing with 11 siblings, he reflects, handling a bunch of congressmen isn't that big a challenge. His father's bar, Andy's Cafe, became his first classroom in human relations, teaching him to treat everyone with equal respect regardless of their status, a principle that would guide his political career even when it put him at odds with his party's evolving extremism. Andy's Cafe shaped Boehner's worldview more profoundly than any political theory. Factory workers who stopped for drinks became like extended family. Working there from age 8, Boehner learned about money and hustle, negotiating his first raise from $2 to $5 per Saturday, and saving for a bicycle that expanded his world through caddying jobs. Despite raising 12 children on limited means, his parents maintained patience and structure with sacred family dinners at 6 p.m., complete with grace and fair food distribution. Later, when managing fractious House Republicans, Boehner drew on skills developed breaking up sibling squabbles and assigning chores. Growing up with limited resources instilled values that defined his leadership style, even when those values made him an outlier in his increasingly radical party. True power in Washington comes from strategic restraint, not grandstanding. Boehner observed how Nancy Pelosi's frequent House floor speeches diminished her impact, while he followed Senator John Towers' advice, "You never get in trouble for something you don't say." When Pelosi's forceful Obamacare push contributed to Democrats' 2010 midterm losses, Boehner instead pursued consensus over unanimity. Mitch McConnell represented a different leadership style, inscrutable and calculating. He once established their working relationship by saying, "I'll never presume to know more about the House than you do, and trust me, you'll never know as much about the Senate as I do." Boehner viewed leadership as institutional responsibility rather than a power grab. His management meetings became genuine feedback sessions. He mentored younger members who were cruising for a bruising to protect both them and Congress itself. His key principle, never enter a meeting without a plan, because without alternatives, your plan becomes the plan. Boehner's political journey began at a 1977 neighborhood 4th of July party with a homeowners association board appointment. Born to Democratic parents, he initially shared their politics. After high school, he worked construction jobs while attending Xavier University part-time. Meeting his wife Deb in 1972 while working as an overnight janitor provided direction in his life. Boehner's views shifted as the 1970s ended. His frustration with high taxes drew him to Reagan's economic vision. "I'm not a Democrat anymore," he realized. "I'm a Republican, and I'm a Reagan Republican too." He advanced from Homeowners Association president to township trustee, overcoming self-doubt by personally canvassing Westchester. Throughout his career, Boehner followed Reagan's philosophy of smaller government and pragmatic compromise. He laments that Reagan wouldn't recognize today's Republican Party, nor could he get elected in it. Reagan understood that achieving 80% of your goals counted as victory, and worked with Democratic Speaker Tip O'Neill rather than throwing bombs to score points with partisan media. In Boehner's speaker's office sat an unusual centerpiece, an African Cape buffalo scrotum in a clear plastic box. Despite staff attempts to hide it, he kept returning it to the conference table, a symbol of courage needed for tough decisions. Boehner believed America's system provides stability by avoiding major policy swings, frustrating radicals, but serving the country well. With Bush, he found a willing partner on education reform, insisting on including Democrat George Miller despite White House objections. Obama proved different, dismissing Boehner during stimulus discussions with, "Well, John, you have to remember, I won." Their most significant negotiation came during the 2011 debt ceiling crisis. After a productive golf outing, they nearly reached a historic agreement with $1.2 trillion in spending cuts and $800 billion in revenue increases. However, Obama later demanded $400 billion more in revenue, causing Boehner to refuse and the deal to collapse. Boehner had been willing to risk his speakership for this agreement if it meant fixing these problems for future generations. When Boehner became Speaker in 2011, he essentially became mayor of Crazy Town, fighting batshit ideas daily while trying to focus on jobs and economic recovery. He was shocked by newcomers' hatred for Obama, whom right-wing media had transformed into a toxic brand for conservatives. When Boehner first entered Congress, conservative media barely existed beyond magazines like National Review. By 2011, America had Drudge Report, Breitbart, and countless YouTube personalities spreading dangerous nonsense. Even his friend Roger Ailes at Fox News succumbed to conspiracies, ranting about Soros, Clinton, and Obama plots when Boehner urged restraint. Ailes claimed White House surveillance and showed off his safe room. By 2013, the Chaos Caucus had built power through right-wing media and outrage-driven fundraising, led by Senator Ted Cruz. Despite reservations, Boehner eventually allowed the government shutdown. Sometimes you need to let people blow themselves up to make a point. The shutdown lasted 2 weeks before Boehner declared, "This fight is over," receiving a standing ovation from the entire conference. Boehner notes these self-proclaimed fiscal conservatives proved their hypocrisy by ignoring Trump adding $1 trillion to the deficit by 2019, before any COVID spending. It was never about money or principle. It was about chaos and power. From Andy's Cafe to the speaker's chair, Boehner distilled wisdom through his Boehnerisms. There's a fine line between stupidity and courage. Never get into a pissing match with a skunk, and if you do the right things for the right reasons, the right things will happen. Global experiences broadened his perspective, from meeting Gaddafi in a desert tent to encountering a fellow high school graduate in a Mujahideen camp. Despite navigating financial crises, government shutdowns, and party extremism, Boehner maintains faith in America's resilience. He watched in horror as the January 6, 2021 Capitol attack unfolded, a betrayal of his supporters' trust and democracy's lowest points. In retirement, he prioritizes family, friendships, and golf while preserving lessons from Andy's Cafe. Respect everyone, work hard, and remember your roots. "I left office the same jackass I was when I entered 25 years earlier," he reflects, perhaps his greatest achievement in a town where power typically corrupts.